Good morning. This is Paul Donovan, Chief Economist at UBS Global Wealth Management. It's 7 o'clock in the morning London time on Wednesday, the 8th of April. Throughout this war, financial markets have been inclined to the optimistic, wanting to see the oil barrel as half full rather than half empty. It is therefore not surprising that a ceasefire announcement has created such a positive reaction. The risk is that financial markets price in not a ceasefire, but a complete end to the war, and try and price a return to business as normal. An end to the war is not certain. Iran's condition include nuclear enrichment programs, which might prove to be a sticking point. There is already a dispute over whether the ceasefire includes Lebanon. Pakistan says it does, Israel that it does not. However, it might be helpful to consider what caused US President Trump to retreat from a very aggressive escalation stance. Trust in agreements made by the current US administration tends to be very low. So if the motives for the US shift stay in place, there's a better chance of a lasting peace. Certainly, the political pressures in the United States have been building. Polling shows that the war is very unpopular, and with average gasoline prices comfortably over $4 per US gallon, the affordability crisis is very present in voters' minds. The Republicans experienced a significant defeat in elections for the Wisconsin Supreme Court yesterday. And while care should be taken in reading too much into local votes, the near 20-point margin of victory for the Democrats in a key swing state is obviously a signal. There had also been calls from across the political spectrum for Article 25 of the Constitution to be used against Trump. And while very unlikely to have been acted upon, that is not a normal occurrence. International attitudes towards Trump's latest comments on the war were also unusually strong. Taken together, this domestic political pressure increases the plausibility of a more lasting settlement being reached. If we do see a lasting settlement, clearly things do not go back to normal. The Strait of Hormuz is reopening, but on Iranian terms. There has to be coordination with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and a toll will have to be paid. Reports suggest the toll would be around $2 million per ship, which would add $1 a barrel to the cost of oil being shipped on larger tankers and up to $2 a barrel for smaller tankers. This is not an economically significant cost. It would be cast as reparations, although reparations are normally paid by the defeated, not by passers-by. The interesting question is where the money is then spent. It seems unlikely that Iranian reconstruction would rely on US products. So whatever currency it is paid in, the proceeds are likely to wind up in Asia or Europe. The same question will also need to be asked of repair and rearmament spending elsewhere in the Gulf. The scale of the damage there is not known. Anyone photographing the damage is liable to arrest. But there will need to be spending, and that may draw down on sovereign wealth funds as well as require a redirection of oil revenues. Again, the question is whether the traditional pattern of buying US weaponry will continue, or whether the Gulf, like Europe, will reassess the reliability of integrating weapon systems with the US and spend the money elsewhere. For the longer term, oil prices should be below $100 a barrel, and at least for the US and the UK, the speculation of interest rate reductions is likely to reemerge. The boost to renewable energy investment is also likely to continue. There is another sentiment shift in this area. It may be that battery storage becomes a bigger focus, and there has already been a response in things like electric vehicle sales. There may also be investment in infrastructure to allow trade to try and bypass the Strait of Hormuz. The nature of defence spending is also likely to be re-examined. War seems much less about tanks and more about drones these days. That's all for today. Have a good day. This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only, and it is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.